girls and boys, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of the Danny Lakey Late Show Podcast.
Well, a podcast intro is in order, despite my voice being on its last legs. It's not even me pretending. It'd be a great little accent I'd accomplish. Nice little skit that I'd be doing. Honestly, my voice is shot. We did on 131060, you were Michael Jackson, as in you called Michael Jackson. And how has the reaction to your name changed over the years? Also, we attempted a world record and saying no the longest. It seemed very achievable. We did not achieve it. Also, exciting news in the koala world on the treatment of chlamydia. Permission to cheat. Did you give it? Did you take it? We talked about that. And plus the quest for Australia's fastest servo worker. Plus the world's hardest fire quiz. Enjoy the podcast. I can't speak.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It is the Danny Lakey Late Show around the country on 131060 on Instagram as well at Danny Lakey Late Show. No, bit of mild panic, maybe. But I don't know if there's need for the major panic sound effect there, Shuey Louie.
I would say major panic because I think this is about to flop.
Let's all just remember, we're monkeys in shoes, living on a small rock, hurtling through a universe, potentially a multiverse, and we're suggesting playing the serious panic sound effect because we may about to not get any calls of anyone who's called Michael Jackson. Still major panic.
You said that if we get no Michael Jacksons, you will take a Michelle Jackson.
I will accept a Michelle Jackson. Look, on 131060, what we're getting at here is your name Michael Jackson? And how has the reaction to your name changed over the years?
Call me and then just speak to me. If your name is Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson.
I reckon we've got an MJ out there right now.
I'm sorry, Danny. I'm going to have to burst your bubble here. I guarantee you no one's going to call.
I'm pretty sure it goes John Smith's, Steve Brown's, then Michael Jackson's.
You reckon?
Very common name.
The phone boards are not lining up at all.
I will concede that we will accept a Michelle Jackson.
Michelle.
But I don't want to just rest on our laurels. There's someone called Matt ringing up. I don't know.
Matt, don't try and punk us. We can see your name.
If your name's Matt Jackson, I'm sorry. We're not going to put him through. If you know a Michael Jackson and you've spoken to them recently, perhaps. Because there's a lot going on at the moment. And say what you will about the Leaving Neverland documentary. I don't want to get into it. It's weird.
I haven't
it's
seen
weird.
It.
It's bizarre.
I don't think I want to.
No, it's a he said, she said. At the end of the day, everyone likes to get on their high horse. You don't know. Hmm. You weren't there.
Nobody knows.
And we never will. So it's up for debate there. And I don't like those debates that can never be proven one way or another. Look, we've got a Matt, a Phil and an Alex ringing in. They may be friends of someone called Michael Jackson. I really hope that we don't end the show on a sour note here where no Michael Jacksons are listening to the show.
Come on, MJs.
Come on. You got it in ya. I reckon there's a real introverted Michael Jackson going, should I not? Yes, you should. Give us a call. We'll talk to them next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
We're hoping to chat to a Michael Jackson, someone whose name is Michael Jackson, to figure out how the reaction to your name over the years has changed.
Call me and then just speak to me. If your name is Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, we've been, I mean, not going to lie, when I pitched this, Boss Tots, he was like, look, love the idea, mate, but I don't know how many listeners you've got at 10:40 at night, let alone how many Michael Jacksons are listening to your shit show. I said, geez, thanks for the support, mate.
He was right, wasn't he?
No, he was right. He set Shuey Louie and producer Jack the task. He's like, maybe just, like, you know, hit up a couple of Michael Jacksons on Facebook and see if they want to come on. Let's try and tease something up here in case it all gets tits up. Met with scrutiny, anger, and angst, dare I say, on Facebook, Shuey Louie, today. When
a lot of replies, people being like, no, absolutely not. I'll not be partaking in this.
Right.
A lot of anger with the old MJs.
Now, we did have someone call who said her dad is named Michael Jackson. She then hung up and was untraceable. We had someone who had a friend who just had the initials MJ.
Not
what
the same.
We're searching for. We do have a guy by the name of Matt in Sydney, and producer Jack says that Matt in Sydney has managed to track down his friend Michael Jackson. Is this correct, producer Jack?
Yes.
The suspense. Yes.
Why does no one care about this? This is groundbreaking.
No,
radio.
Because I spoke to Matt, and Matt was like, oh, I've got a friend that's... I was like, oh, great. We've got heaps of people calling with their friends. And then I was like, do you reckon you can get him on the phone? And he's like, oh, probably not. I came back to Matt, and he's like, I got him. And they're doing a three-way chat on the line.
What?
Oh.
So we have MJ.
Matt in Sydney. Are you there?
Yeah, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you. Michael Jackson, are you also connected with Matt in from Sydney?
I am.
Jesus!
Oh, my God. We've got MJ.
Oh, my God.
Groundbreaking.
There you go.
It's a smooth criminal. Matt in Sydney, by the way, first things first, great producing, mate. You've successfully done what producer Jack and Chewy Louie couldn't do in 8 hours within
mate,
a matter of about 80
job,
seconds.
Matt.
No worries. I had to do it. I felt bad for ringing him just late at night, but
yeah.
He's famous already for the name, but I'm made him famous again.
Of course. Well, the legacy must live on. Now, Michael Jackson, if we may, how has the reaction to your name been over the years? Of course, when you introduce yourself as Michael Jackson, I'd assume you get a couple of classic responses, correct?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. What do people usually say? Well, so let's say... Danny Boy, the pipes be calling Danny
over
Boy.
Over the years, there's not much anymore, so everyone sort of either got over it as you get older, or the kids don't know who the hell it is anyway. So. Yeah.
I'm going to say that the kids, it's a dying breed of Michael Jackson fans. I know they say Jackson will live on forever, but I just don't know if that's the case. All good things come to an end. The Pagans were fantastic. That's not a band, that's just a society back in the day. But what I'm saying is that time eliminates everyone.
You think it's gone, done?
Yeah. So, and these days...
Pretty much.
I mean, all alleged, but are there a couple of below-the-belt jokes down the pub that go on Michael Jackson?
Hey, there is, but you can either take them on the chin and make some fun with them, or you can get all offended by it.
Of course. It would take a very grumpy, pessimistic Michael Jackson to want to beat every single person's brains out whoever made a slight little joke about that.
You'd be flirting everyone every day.
Have you seen a dramatic increase in the amount of attention your name's received in the past couple of weeks with the Leaving Neverland documentary, Michael Jackson?
No, not really.
Oh. The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's the Danny Lakey Late Show around the country on 131060. Getting very excited.
Let's break a world record, baby, now, right now. Break a record, baby, right now, right now.
I've actually never been so sure of something in my life. A very common conundrum that world-class athletes face, Shuey Louie, when their visualisation of, say, winning a Wimbledon tennis championship is so strong, the coach actually has to pull them back and says, one step at a time.
Are you that confident about this?
Take care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. This record will be broken in the next minute or so.
You really think you're backing yourself that much?
100%. This guy's got nothing. I mean, can you please explain all of this whilst I go into deep Wim Hof breathing, which I've been doing for the past 15 minutes.
You've been going...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hyperventilating. There's nothing funny about it. Talk them through the record.
Okay,
I'm going.
Sorry, Danny's in the zone. I'm not taking this as seriously as him. So we're trying to break a world record attempt. And tonight we're going to attempt the longest melodramatic pronunciation of the word no.
So it's just someone saying no for as long as they can in one breath, essentially. This is a little bit of it. I mean, you get the point. He just goes on and...
He goes on for 43 seconds, 0.62.
So stupid. Such child's play. Christian Donnell. I'm about to break your record. There's no way he was doing breathing techniques.
You're being too confident. It's not going to happen now.
No, trust me. I think it's going. So we'll count down 3, 2, 1.
Okay. I'm in this as well, but clearly not as confident as you.
Producer Jack, would you be able to have the official timer on standby? Because I've got a 60-second countdown timer. But if you could start the exact seconds, because 43 seconds of continuous knowing, I'll be able to break that. I'm hoping. This 60-second timer will go for a minute. If we hit the 10-second mark, so this 60-second thing goes, dook, 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 dook. If we hear at the end of it, it go 10, 9, that means we've broken the 50-second barrier mark.
Well, you're making me nervous now.
No need to be nervous, Shuey Louie. We'll both have a crack at it. Don't distract the other person.
Hey,
if one pulls out...
Don't look at me in the eyes.
Don't you look at me in the eyes. All right. Here we go. No.
I Danny's still going. Oh, he's slowly, slowly failing. Oh. He's going primary.
No!
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 I'm sorry, I knew that was going to happen. No! I don't mean to be negative, Nancy, but
no!
You were too confident.
Oh.
Your face is bright red.
I really thought I was going to break that record.
Damn
it. The Danny Lakey Late Show.
This is just great news for koalas everywhere. Queensland research finds faster way to treat koalas with chlamydia.
Huge.
This is huge. Because we've known for a while that koalas have chlamydia, and don't even get me started on the lack of sexual health services in the outback.
But how do they get it? Is it from sex?
I don't know. Like,
seems bizarre thing.
There's definitely a lot of hanky panky going on, and they're transmitting chlamydia between one another's furry pouches by intercourse.
Quite frisky.
They're very frisky. Mm. I think some of them rummage around in the dirt and catch it, and then others, yeah, are sleeping with other koalas and passing it on. It's rampant. Koalas are real toey. You think they're docile things? Nah. When the sun goes down, far out. You've never seen. You haven't lived until you've seen a koala orgy in the outback.
Have
rampant.
You seen one?
No. They're rampant.
You haven't lived then.
No. They're rampant, though. These guys are cuddly old critters, but they are riddled with chlamydia. The research project has revealed that koalas can recover from chlamydia in around half the time that was previously thought.
In the past, infected marsupials were given a 45-day course of antibiotics, time which could soon be slashed.
We could just as effectively treat them with a 14 to 28-day course, and we're having similar outcomes.
How's that? Dramatically slash recovery time. It means the koalas can get back and re-released into the wild sooner rather than later. And stop all that itching downstairs as well, because it's bloody annoying having chlamydia.
You'd know, would you?
I wouldn't know.
That sounded like a firm, like you knew.
No, I read it on Google. Look, you know who was probably worst affected by chlamydia in the koala world? Children's TV cartoon character Blinky Bill. He really used to get up to a bit of mischief. Him and Nutsy, actually, well known in the outback community as rampant koala swingers. Yeah, you don't remember. They did a Blinky Bill episode about Nutsy and Blinky go to the swingers club.
No, they did.
I think we've got the audio here, actually. Yeah, this rings some bells. Yeah, now you'll remember it.
This is the story of Blinky Bill and his girlfriend Nutsy too. One time they went to a swingers club with Splodge the kangaroo. Now they all live in Greenpatch Town as happy as can be, but they can catch chlamydia the same as you and me. 'Cause one evening at the swingers club they had unprotected sex. They knew the risk of STDs, but none of them were checked. And when the morning after came and after all the fun, the creamy peeny white koala discharge had begun. Hey, hey, Blinky Bill, no more having sex until you've taken your chlamydia pills. Good old Blinky Bill. Hey, hey, Blinky Bill, sex with a condom takes some skill. We know it takes away the thrill. Good old Blinky Bill. So come and see what happens next to Blinky's blue vein snag. He's wiser now and wraps it up every time he has a shag. Watch Blinky practice safer sex while he is on the job with extra, extra small condoms for his little koala knob. Hey, hey, Blinky Bill, no more having sex until you've taken your chlamydia pills. Good old Blinky Bill. Hey, hey, Blinky Bill, sex with a condom takes some skill. We know it takes away the thrill. Good old Blinky Bill.
You remember the episode.
Good on you, Blinky.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
The Danny Lakey Late Show around the country. Happy Thursday, 13:10:60 on Instagram as well, at Danny Lakey Late Show. Yeah, may as well. I may as well press it, because, yeah, no, I can. I think I should. Saucy content alert, guys. Saucy content. May disrupt some viewers and listeners, maybe. This is it off a bombshell today that Jess at Married at First Sight has released. Of course, Married at First Sight taken Australia by storm. It's almost over for those who hate it. It's almost over for those who love it, with the big reunion coming up with an apparent glassing.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
The big hot gossip Married at First Sight at the moment is Jess cheating on her, in brackets, husband, Mick, with another guy who's in the experiment. He's called Dan, and he's shacked up with someone as well. Now, Jess was saying on Talking Married, which is the spin-off to Married at First Sight. Why would girls get together and just talk married?
The checks.
Apparently, Mick has given her permission to cheat. And vice versa, Dan's missus gave him permission to cheat.
Throughout the affair, there was offers on the table from Tamara that if I wanted Dan, have Dan. And there was also offers from Mick, if you want Jess, have her.
Yeah, bombshell
Drama.
Ballad.
Drama!
I mean, really? Like, everyone's just going, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you can just go for it. I mean, if you want him that bad, have a go. I know this is like a sped up version of marriage and whatnot, but I'm just thinking, people aren't buying this at all. People are saying, no, there's no way they would have done that. I swear I've heard stories before where partners who've been together for 20, 25 years, almost as like a birthday present or a 20-year anniversary present, they let them stray for one night.
I'm sorry, Danny. I'm going to put my foot down here. That is not a thing.
No, I honestly think that may be a thing in relationships where if you've been together that long, you've withstood the test of time. Obviously,
no,
20 years, and you're... No, and seriously, your relationship is that strong, that rock solid, that you can just give them permission to
cheat.
Then
why do you need the one night? Yes, everyone has their hall pass of a celebrity. Mine would obviously be Justin Bieber.
Never going to happen.
As much as it hurts me to say that, I understand that, hence why it's a hall pass. And, you know, you kind of have this laugh like, oh, Bieber was in town. You do not give your partner permission to cheat.
I reckon there's a couple of people out there that have done just that.
Yay! Did you give permission to give permission for them to cheat?
I remember I used to work in Thailand as this tour guide, and this Australian couple, lovely, had been dating for 20 years. And the husband was a pilot, and he worked for Emirates, and he used to spend a lot of time in Dubai. And the woman one night, after a couple of drinks, greatest couple, two kids, well-educated, you know, good, loving family. Just after a couple of drinks, couple of nights in, she said, yeah, so-and-so, you know, he's obviously a pilot, he's away a lot. I mean, every now and then you've just got to let him have his fun, because otherwise he will go astray and it'll turn into lies. No, seriously, she said that. And they weren't swingers, they weren't, you know, on the rocks. She just accepted to call a spade from time to time and just let him have his fun. Almost like just empty the tank and then this wouldn't have to come up again for another 10 years. Ooh, seduction, temptation. You just let the dog off the leash for one night only.
That's not a thing.
A
it doesn't work
Could
like
be a
that.
Tactic.
You have your
Could
celebrity hall pass. That's it.
I would love if anyone's got any deals about, you know, celebrity hall passes, or anyone's got, you know what, if we reach 25 years, I'll let you go to the Chinese massage parlor and get a happy ending. Those kind
of
deals.
We're not going to get any callers, but you put that out there.
131060, have you given permission to cheat?
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Have you given permission for them to cheat?
Yeah!
Did you give permission to give permission for them to cheat?
Comes off the back of Married at First Sight. Jess painted as the villain of the show at this point in time, cheating on her hubby Mick with a guy called Dan. Now, she said on Talking Married, which is the spin-off commentary show of what happens behind the scenes, all the juicy gas to share around the water cooler with the girls, that she was happy to cheat on Mick with Dan because Mick gave his blessing. Said, you know what, I'll give you permission to cheat.
And vice versa. Old Tamara and Dan.
Yeah, Dan's Mrs. Tamara said, yeah, you can cheat. If that's what the heart wants, you go for it. You know what I mean? You didn't think that it was a thing, Shuey Louie.
I know, and we've got calls. I didn't think it was going to happen.
Rebecca in Melbourne, have you given permission to cheat?
Yes, I have.
I love how there's like a certain defeatist attitude. You're well, if you can't beat him, join him. He nagged. More power to you. So what happened? What was the dynamic?
Okay, so we're engaged, and I'm the only person he's ever slept with. Now, I know what it's like being a virgin and, you know, only sleeping with one person, and you have that, you know, I know what it's like with other people, like, sure. You know. So I said on his bucks night that if he'd like to have a one-night stand and have a bit of fun to see what it's like, so he can kind of see that, you know, if he wants to have sex with the same person for the rest of his life, or if he actually really enjoyed it with someone else, and, you know, we can go our separate ways and, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, he's married the right person, wow. That's for sure. He's engaged to the right person.
Because I don't want him to do it later on, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to marry him and then him cheat on me and then go through divorce. Like, yeah. I'd rather him do it before we sign those papers to go, yes, you are committed forever.
It's almost like a controlled burn back. You know, when the fire is, they'll start burning a bit of the bush to make sure that it doesn't erupt in wildfire later on in the summer. Yeah. Yeah, very tactical decision. Very interesting decision.
Bold move.
Yeah. I mean, there's no guarantee that a lad can get laid any night of the week,
exactly.
By the way.
Like, he might be lucky and nothing happens.
Yeah, like, there's no guarantee he's going to get lucky on his bucks night. But, interesting. I like your style, Rebecca. Jess in Sydney. You giving permission for them to cheat?
To a point, yeah. So, partner of 6 years was going up to a Gold Coast on a bucks night, knowing how he's like when he has a couple of drinks, you know, really easygoing guy. Didn't want him to potentially feel guilty if anything did accidentally happen, so hall pass was provided. Mm. I suppose where I think of it is, like, it's not cheating if I give permission, right? So if that then subsequently removes any guilt down the track, then hey, things are cool.
So true, because producer Jack and I, we had the discussion. We said, well, we'll call it permission to cheat, but technically if you've got permission, it's not cheating, but it's just going to cut,
doesn't
just gonna cut through
you,
that.
Doesn't that give you, you know, like insecurities, thinking that he's going to do it every time he goes out now?
But he doesn't get the hall pass every time he goes
out.
But He's been a good boy.
Yeah, but then he might go, oh, you know, I've had it once. What happens if it happens again, you know? Mm-hmm. Well,
then he's got the guilty conscience. He's got a case
then
of guilt.
In fairness, he's had a lot of issues with cheating things in the past. His parents broke up because of it, so it's not something he's ever likely to do. He would never do it anyway, but it was more me trying to be positive, supportive girlfriend and be like, hey, you know, if that happens, it's okay, it's cool, we're cool.
Yeah, good one, Jess. It's interesting that the Bucks party keeps coming up.
I know,
like, it's the Bucks pass.
Apparently,
well,
they're
Bucks,
even...
you know, they run in herds, you can't stop a buck on the town.
All they're doing is going out hunting girls.
Yeah, well, Lisa in Sydney. What happened with you? You've been given permission.
Yeah, well, I asked for permission. He's let me be a sex worker.
Bloody ripper.
So, we're engaged and I've always wanted to do it, but I never thought of it as an actual option. And then I met someone that does it and didn't realize like how easy it was to get into, and I brought it up to him and he was like, nah, nah, nah. And I was like, you know, I really want to do it. It's something I've always wanted to do. I don't want to have to leave you to be able to do it. And because he said, you know, you'll have to leave me if you want to. And I'm like, I don't want to have to leave you. And then after a few days, he's like, look, I give you permission. You know, I don't want to hold you back. I want you to be able to do anything that you want.
Yeah. This is cool. I mean, you'd be swimming in the dough, so I hope he gets a little, you know, I hope you treat him from time to time.
It's actually not that, like, you don't make that much. Like, this week I haven't made that much.
Mm.
It's really up and down. It's just a bad time, apparently, and it depends where you are as well. But, you know, like, I work day shifts and I will do, like,
you just went on a rant and I had to stop you.
Yeah, that was actually producer Jack who gave me the call to do that, by the way, so don't shoot me. Don't, you know, overcharge me if we ever bump into each other. That's producer Jack who's going to pay in the hip pocket. Interesting story, though. Very interesting. Not interesting enough for producer Jack, but still very interesting. The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time to find Australia's fastest servo worker.
Yes, every Thursday we ring an unsuspecting service station worker somewhere in the country. I act very ravenous, very hungry, and ask them if they stock the 53-gram tube of original Pringles. And if so, how much? Little do they know that they're on the clock the whole time. They're live on national radio, and we are timing within a millisecond to try and find out who is Australia's fastest servo station worker.
I'm very passionate about this segment as well. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of research during the weeks.
You do.
To find out who is going to be, you know, the station that we're going to and the person who we're trying to get the Pringles for us.
At the moment, from memory, Vishan has set the benchmark. He's the fastest service station worker in the country currently.
8.19 seconds. Jeez. Summerhill, New South Wales.
God, I mean, that's from answering the phone, me asking, do you have the 53-gram original tube of Pringles? That's him putting down the phone, going to find them,
scanning them in or figuring out the price, getting back to me on the phone.
It's incredible. I suspect he was eating a packet and he had them next to him, yeah. You know, and just grabbed it over, scanned.
It wouldn't surprise me. These sort of numbers are unprecedented. We've got a man by the name of Aman who works at a United Petroleum in Springfield, Queensland. He had 11.21 seconds. He was the world record holder until a couple of weeks ago.
And then you got poor old Jack.
Down the bottom.
62.8 seconds. United Petroleum was out.
He shot himself in the foot. He had no clue what I was going on about for so long.
Is he the guy who thought that you were talking about the chocolates? Someone kept asking questions, being like, the chocolates? Yeah. You're like, no, the chips,
that's
the Pringles.
Right. That's right. It was him. Yeah. Height of rudeness. Where are we going tonight?
Tonight we're going to Brizzy. We're going to Brisbane.
Great.
Kelvin Grove. Shell petrol station.
Oh, I reckon I went there in grade 9.
You reckon?
I reckon we had a couple of fill-up tanks at Kelvin Grove.
Did you meet a man called Adrian?
Don't remember. Didn't ask for the name.
Okay, well, Adrian is who we're hoping to get tonight.
Okay, let's give him a call. The second I ask the original Pringles and the price, the timer will start to find out if Adrian is indeed the fastest servo worker.
Shell Kelvin Grove, this is Adrian.
Hi there, Adrian. You must excuse me, I'm very hungry, very ravenous. Do you sell 53 gram tubes of original Pringles?
53 grams, just let me check. We do stock the Pringles, one moment.
And if you can, a price as well.
Now,
sounded very prompt, like he knew what he was doing.
My query is, did he hear the price request?
Oh.
I think he left the post too early. I think it may be a false start.
You think he's just going to come back?
Yes, we do carry the 53 gram size.
Great. How much are they?
Oh, just let me check one moment.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Oh, he got too excited. He got over-enthusiastic. Adrian, only half the battle is to locate the Pringles.
Oh, you had to go back.
You need the price, buddy. Oh, no. We're on a world record split there. Shit.
And they're $2.99.
Well... it's not bad from Adrian, but I feel there's a sour taste in our mouths tonight.
I think he could have been potentially third or fourth place.
Yeah. He was making a real good time.
Oh, Adrian,
he forgot rule number one. Always find the price of a 53-gram tube of Pringles.
Rule number one is a petty station worker.
Oh, I'm reluctant to ask Shuey Louie, but the official time for Adrian after coming back to the well twice.
All right. I hate to say it, Adrian.
39.46. Oh, no. That drops him down a fifth.
Yeah, he's fifth place.
He's not even on the podium.
He could have been third. I really think he would have taken John out of third place from Budget Petrol.
Well, John survives. Sanjeep still in fourth. Adrian from Shell Petrol in Kelvin Grove. Very nice man. Just too eager.
Great customer service. I will give him that. Very friendly.
Must be new on the job. Very, very toey to get those Pringles. Let that be a lesson to servo workers everywhere, I'd say.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Right,
this is the world's hardest quiz.
Tis? World's hardest fire. Quiz on 13, 10, 60. Every single answer has the word or sound
fire
in there somewhere. Question number one before a common catchphrase that Donald Trump has said in the past. Fastest fingers through was Chelsea and Bendigo. Nice split. Nice split, bae.
Thanks. I'm pretty sure I know it.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure you know it as well. Give us your best shot.
You're fired.
You're
fired.
Good is correct, yeah. So true.
You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired. Imagine hearing those muttery words coming out of that tiny old mouth.
I know, it'd be horrible.
God.
You're fired.
I think I just quit Donald, to be honest. Next question. A red vehicle that is also used as a safe word with experimental couples.
Fire truck?
Fire
truck is correct. Skinnier teeth stuff there. Yeah, wow. Obviously not your safe word. fire truck. Usually seen once or twice a year at night time. And can be considered a fun family event.
Fireworks.
Fireworks
is correct. This is huge from you. I mean, arguably, I think the gloss has worn off fireworks these days. I think technology's come too far. There's funner things to be doing than spending your night watching just colourful stars in the sky. When you've seen one lot of fireworks, you've seen them all. Don't know if that's controversial. Yeah, no, you're with me. Because if you're not with me, you're against me. And I'm glad you're with me tonight, Chels. A phrase meaning to cause a situation or conflict and become more intense.
Add something to the fire?
Add
something to the fire?
Yeah, well, it's something all right. Unfortunately, I'll have to let you go. She's done a lot of the lead work for you, Alyssa, to come in from South Morang. Nice.
Hello.
South. Is that what your suburb's called? South Morang?
Yes.
Great. Wouldn't mind shutting up shop, bringing the wife and kids down to South Morang. Sounds like a great place to raise the family. Do you know the answer? A phrase meaning to cause a situation or conflict to become more intense.
Add fuel to the fire?
Oh, yeah. Add fuel to the
fire.
Is correct. Very well done from you. Yeah, add fuel to the fire. Mm. Saying you deserve to be fired is just going to add fuel to the fire, Stacey. And then that rumour will spread like wildfire. A lot of fire in there.
There is.
One question. I'm losing my voice. I'm going Croaky Adams. It's kind of sexy. It's very tough to do two things at once. Arguably, the most famous of all Kings of Leon songs is called what?
Oh, I know this one.
That's what they all say. Alyssa,
oh my God.
From South Morang. If my voice wasn't croaky and I didn't sound like Steve-O right now, I'd give you more time. I'm going to have to buzz you out, bid you adieu.
Sorry.
You were that close. You're one pinky's width away from a free vibrator.
Oh, That's okay.
Thanks, Vicky in Melbourne.
Yep.
It's all down to you.
There's sex on fire.
Oh. This quiz can be a cruel mistress. And at the same time, it can be oh so sweet. Vicky,
you... That was the easy win for me.
Have won the Love Honey vibrator. If you're looking to boost your sexual happiness and create a buzz in the bedroom, head to lovehoney.com.au. Jeez, you've got a real speed demon on your hands. This thing doesn't muck around. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. Yeah! Your sex is on fire. Ow, 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 ow. Carpet burn. Fire truck. Literally fire truck.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
The Danny Lakey Late Show around the country on 13 10 60, wrapping up with not a moment to spare.
Your voice.
It's just gone. I don't know how or what, but it's just decided to crack up shop tonight. Before we go, a final thought by myself. Producer Jack's been scouring the internet for some of the saddest Facebook comments, and Chewy Louie ferociously trying to figure out a moment of the show. I mean, with all the technology, we've landed man on moon. We've sent spaceships to Mars. We've managed the internet, satellites, the mouse wheel, another invention I'm particularly fond of. We still haven't figured out how to undo pressing the wrong elevator button in an elevator. No undo on that bad boy.
Oh my God, that's actually genius. Yeah. It's so annoying when you click the wrong one and then you're going up or down when you don't want to be going up or down.
Yeah. It probably lies within the main two conglomerates in the elevator industry, and I'd say that's Otis Elevators and ThyssenKrupp.
Copyright that idea.
I'll be writing the ThyssenKrupp, don't you worry about that. I remember when I used to live in an apartment and I was six and it was in Dubai, and I thought it would be funny to press all the elevator buttons because I saw Bart Simpson do it. And it opened up on my level and another family got in and I just piss-bolted out of there. I was so scared. I was like, God, her mum's like, what's wrong? I was like, nothing. I thought I was going to get in trouble, get grounded.
I still do that sometimes.
Do you?
Juvenile. I have an elevator confession. Up until about age 18, I used to click the down button for the elevator to come down to me.
When I
on the bottom floor when I wanted to go on.
The Schuster.
Terrible.
Wow. Producer Jack, Facebook comments.
Yeah. Well, so there's obviously been a lot going on in the media with politicians coming out and being very controversial, I guess.
I thought I missed
Fraser Anning and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, actor Sam Neill, from Jurassic Park. He's like a
I'm not a movie fan.
A Kiwi, but an Aussie. But he's an older guy. He's very well loved. Very well loved. He's come out. And he's just like, I'm ashamed at Australian politicians at the moment. Like just disgraceful. And, you know, and people haven't really liked that. A guy named Jeff wrote, "Fair dinkum, these actor types. They're lower than a pregnant ant."
What a comeback.
I don't even know what's lower than a pregnant ant.
He was just, I reckon he heard that down the pub after a couple of frothies and said, you know what, I just got to figure out a way to get this online.
He put pregnant ant in capital letters.
Oh, wow. Oh, he's angry about
it. He's very angry. Another man named Michael, he wrote, "Always had a lot of respect for Sam. Until now." Oh. Just until now.
Oh, no. So, I wonder if Sam saw that comment and thought, oh, shit, I've really done wrong here now, haven't I? Oh, I regret every single action I've done today. Jesus Christ. Social media, given those without a voice since 2013. Chewy Louie, moment of the show.
Gotta be when we had some callers on. Producer Jack just thought, she's gone on for too long.
What was with that, producer Jack? Shaming the sex worker.
No, I did a hand gesture to you because she said it was an up-down industry. Oh. And I was making a penis joke with my hand.
You were flicking your wrist.
Yeah, like up and down, going, ha-ha, it's an up-down industry, get it?
Oh, I thought you were telling me to fade her out. No. Miscommunication.
You don't make that much. Like, this week I haven't made that much.
Mm.
It's really up and down. It's just a bad time, apparently, and it depends where you are as well. But, you know, like, I work day shifts and I will do, like,
that. You just went on a rant and I had to stop you.
To be honest, I'm
great time.
I'll own that one. I think the fade down was warranted anyway.
Yeah, was going on.
Don't get me wrong, love a sex worker call on the show, but there's no need to get into the nitty gritty of the ups and downs of the financial economic sector during the daytime in bloody autumn. For goodness' sake,
you're gonna have to think of a new hand gesture for
you. Will have
penis
to.
Gags.
Definitely. All right, end of the show. Friday tomorrow. End of the week. Constantino, I believe, is coming on tomorrow because I was sick when he was on, so I missed him.
No, sorry.
No, second Constantino.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.